I would like to draw your attention to the conclusion of some remarks that were made 2 weeks ago before partaking of the Lord's Supper. When we remember Jesus, and we remember what he did for us, and we remember him the way he asked for us to remember him. And so we go back and we look in Matthew 26 and we see when Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper that he uses the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine to represent his body and his blood. And we stop to spend a little bit of time to think, why? Why unleavened bread? And so I want to conclude those thoughts and talk about the unleavened bread again really quickly. So first of all, just a reminder that we partake of the unleavened bread represents his body. Fruit of the vine represents his blood. And we know it was unleavened bread because it tells us in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 17, in the days of the unleavened bread, when they institute the Passover, there's no leaven in the city of Jerusalem. It's all gone. It's all unleavened bread. And what we observed last time, 2 weeks ago, was that that referenced the Passover for the Jews, for the Israelites, when they were released from captivity so quickly, the bread did not have time to rise. And that's what leaven does. We usually refer to it as yeast. It gets all throughout the bread and it makes it get puffed up with air and it becomes a loaf of bread. And it didn't have time to do that. And so it looked more like a tortilla, something flat. And that's the sort of bread that Jesus chose. And for one, it's a reminder of the quick exit. For them, it was a reminder of being freed from captivity. And as we partake of the Lord's Supper, we think about, see unleavened bread, and you think, Jesus freed me from my sins. But that's not where the idea of unleavened bread comes to an end. That's not the only thing it talks about in the Old Testament and New Testament. It's not just the days of unleavened bread. Unleavened bread was a frequent part, in fact, a daily part of the worship to God in the Old Testament. In Exodus 29, it's made reference to, and I want you to notice the repetition here, but it's made reference to, and we're going to have priests and we're going to consecrate them. This is when they start to be a priest to God. Now, this is what you shall do to them, to consecrate them, to minister as priests to me. Take one young bull and two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread, and unleavened cake mixes with oil, and unleavened wafers spread with oil. You shall make them of fine wheat flour. Three times he emphasizes it should be unleavened. Or in Leviticus 2, verses 4 through 6, when it is, okay, if you're going to offer up a grain offering to God, here's what you should do. Now, when you bring an offering of a grain offering baked in an oven, it shall be unleavened cakes of fine flour mixed with oil, or unleavened wafers spread with oil. If your offering is a grain offering made in the griddle, it shall be a fine flour unleavened mixed with oil. You shall break it into bits and pour oil on it. It is a grain offering. I want you to consider that that has absolutely nothing to do with speed. He's not saying, we want you to just make this as snappy as you can. That's not the point. There's a deeper point to this unleavened bread. In Leviticus 10 and verse 12, then Moses spoke to Aaron and to his surviving sons, Eleazar and Ithamar, take the grain offering that is left over from the Lord's offering by fire and eat it unleavened beside the altar, for it is most holy. And here part of it is you eat it there because it's holy, but part of it is you eat it unleavened because it is holy. We get to the New Testament, and Jesus references leaven, and there are other passages that reference leaven and what is unleavened. And we see a similar picture, and it starts to come together. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 16, verses 6 through 7, he looks at his disciples. He said to them, watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they began to discuss this among themselves, saying, he said that because we did not bring any bread. Now, if you know the context, Jesus has just fed the 5,000 or the 4,000, and that was one of the most ridiculous thoughts they've ever had. Jesus has no problem creating bread. So Jesus explains, how is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Then they understood that he did not say to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And Jesus is using leaven as a defiling element. that will get into us and spread. And so you watch out for that leaven. Or in Galatians 5, verse 7 through 9, this is an illustration of what Jesus had taught. Now you have these Christians, and somebody is coming and trying to convince the Christians that, yes, you should follow Jesus, but you should also follow the law of Moses. You can't be saved apart from it. And so Paul says to them, "You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough." He's saying here, this little bit has ruined so much. And in fact, we come to realize something. There are exceptions to this. But in general, within God's word, leaven is considered a negative thing. Leaven is considered a negative influence, a defiling influence. And this is seen and brings us back to the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, you have a church, a Lord's church, offering up worship to God, but one of their members has chosen to live in a very horrible way. They are sleeping with their father's wife. And the church, rather than separating themselves, rather than removing them from their midst, they're boasting about the fact that he's a part of them. And Paul writes to shame them about that and to motivate them and push them to change. And here's what he says, verse 6 of 1 Corinthians 5. "Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." And there in verse 8, when he says, "Let us celebrate the feast," he's not talking about the old law of Passover. He's talking about remembering Jesus, illustrated here. Do this without leaven. Now, he's not so focused on the bread, but it tells us that bread means something. It's unleavened for a reason. And what it means is, first and foremost, it reminds us of Jesus' innocence. If leaven is this defiling element, and Jesus takes unleavened bread and says, "This is my body," we are reminded that in all of his time on earth, tempted in all of these ways, Jesus never faltered. He never failed. He never sinned. And when we hold this bread, you remember his innocence. Look at Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 26. It's a contrast between Jesus, our high priest, and these other priests. Our high priest, the one we're going to remember in just a moment with the partaking of the Lord's Supper, including the unleavened bread. It says, "For it was fitting for us to have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners and exalted above the heavens." When we partake of unleavened bread, it's a reminder, just in the way it looks and the way it feels in your hand, that our Lord was perfect. No sins. And he died on the cross for us. But at the very same time, if you go back to 1 Corinthians 5, the unleavened bread there isn't just Jesus, it's us. And when we partake of the Lord's Supper and we partake specifically of the unleavened bread, it's a reminder of our goals and our dedication. He is innocent. I will be too. And so as a church, as 1 Corinthians 5 in the context is saying, as a church, we are committed to be pleasing to God and not to allow sin to willfully live in our midst. And as an individual, we will daily make a commitment to separate ourselves from God, or as James 1 and verse, separate ourselves from sin, or as James 1 and verse 27 says, to keep yourself pure and unstained by the world. Unleavened bread, it represents his innocence. And as we partake, it's also a declaration we're going to do our best to be the same, to not be defiled by the world. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, we remember the death of Jesus. But we're also saying, I'm going to live like I believe that. Let us partake of the Lord's Supper.